Wel, goeiemôre almal. Goeiemôre. Is 'n groot voorreg om hier te wees. En die Engelse mense kyk vir my met 'n frons. So ek moet seker nou stop. Ek moet nie verder praat nie. Ek gaan stop. Good morning everybody. Now everybody is at peace. All the English speaking folk, morning, welcome. It is so wonderful to have such a patient pastor as Pastor Tiny and to be a brother in Christ with him. If you notice that Tiny, this pedestal is actually It's handmade for me. Apologies, Pastor. But I felt actually it looked good. So maybe we should keep it like this, Tiny. If it's fine. Okay. Well, welcome everybody. It's wonderful to be with you. And the title of my message for this morning is Living for God's Glory. Living for God's Glory. Or that your life would glorify God in all things, in every aspect, living for God's glory. I just want to read a statement that was made by the well-known reformer, John Calvin. John Calvin made the following statement. We are not our own. Let not our reason nor our will, therefore, sway our plans and deeds. We are not our own. Let us therefore not set it out as our goal to seek what is expedient for us according to the flesh. We are not our own. Insofar as we can, let us therefore forget ourselves and all that is ours. Now John Calvin goes on. Conversely, we belong to God. Let us therefore live for Him and die for Him. We belong to God. Let His wisdom and will therefore rule all our actions. We belong to God. Let all the parts of our life accordingly strive toward Him as our only lawful goal. Let's just close our eyes in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are not our own. We belong to You. We who name the name of Christ, Lord, remind us that we have been bought not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ to belong to You. Lord, we are not our own, and the prayer of my heart is that You would help us to build our lives on the solid foundation of Your mercy. And Lord, that You would grant us the grace to live lives that would glorify You, every aspect of our lives. So Lord, my humble request in this morning is that You would bless Your Word, that Your Word would be living, powerful, life-changing. Lord, that You would give us receptive hearts. Lord, that You would encourage Your children and that You would graciously save sinners, even in this morning. And we pray this in the precious name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. We can go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 1 from the New American Standard Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Living a life for God's glory, that's the title of the message, Living for God's Glory. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Pastor Tiny has completed his sermon series on the book of Romans. And in this morning, I would like to just quickly stand still in terms of chapter 12. And my sermon is only one verse long. Only one verse long, Pastor Tiny. Okay? Right. Just quickly. I shouldn't actually ask the question because you already know the answer, because you know the book of Romans now by heart. But what is the focal point of the book of Romans? The focal point. What is the focal point or the most important point of Paul's letter to the church in Rome? The focal point. What verse? Anybody? Verse? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Close, Uncle James, close. Thank you for that. Romans, let's quickly go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Pastor Tiny, they're listening attentively now. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. The focal point of Paul's letter to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, let's read verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Friends, the gospel of Christ reveals God's rescue plan for hopeless sinners. That's the gospel of Christ. It reveals that God has got a rescue plan. And you know what? The good news is what? That we are justified, we are forgiven, we are reconciled by simply trusting in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Is the focal point of the book of Romans. What is the gospel of grace? It is God graciously enabling sinners like myself and yourself to turn from sin to Christ. We are saved by faith, by grace, and by Christ alone. That's the focal point of the letter to Romans. And just a quick question regarding the outline. Basically, the book of Romans has got three parts. Chapter 1 to 3 is all about condemnation. Someone said, Romans chapter 1 to 3 is all about the hell of sin. I believe that's true. The first part of Romans, chapter 1 to 3, is all about condemnation. And you know what? It's all about the desperate need of sinful people for righteousness. That's the first part. The world that we live in is desperately and hopelessly in sin. And there's a great need for righteousness. So the first part of Romans is about condemnation. The second part of Romans is from verse 4 to verse 11, and that's all about, anybody there? Yeah. Yes, thank you very much. The second part is all about salvation. Salvation is only to be found in Christ alone, the second part. And that is now God providing. Is it wonderful? The first part is about condemnation. There's a great need for righteousness, God's righteousness. The second part is all about salvation. And God is providing His righteousness. And now we see justification. What does justification mean? It means that God in the flesh, Jesus, became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Him by simply believing, by simply trusting in Him. So justification is God declaring us righteous. And that is salvation from the penalty of sin. What a great miracle that God can save people from the penalty of sin. The second part of salvation is all about sanctification. Now we're working out that justification. It's progressive. We're working it out. Like the song, like we trust and you obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sanctification. So, God is saving us now from the power of sin in our lives, friends. Just remember, we haven't arrived. Some people do. They say, well, I've received the second blessing. So I've arrived. Well, I haven't arrived. I'm looking for a third and a blessing number 4 and blessing number 5 and, Lord willing, blessing number 6. Friends, the second part of salvation is sanctification. We need to trust and obey and work at it. And you know what? God saves us from the power of sin. And in the last part of salvation is all about glorification. something to look forward. What does that mean? It means that this remaining sin that's so stubborn that I wrestle with, I don't know about you guys, but I still wrestle a bit with it, the remaining sin. It means that God will remove that remaining sin and you will be perfect at home with the Lord. That's the second part of Romans. Now, the part that I want to speak about is all about application. Remember I said the first part is condemnation. The second part is all about salvation. And this part is all about application. How can we live a life that will glorify God? Chapters 12 to 16. How do we live for God? You know what's wonderful? It's impossible to live for God if you don't have the right motivation. I want to repeat that. It's impossible to persevere glorifying God if you don't have the right motivation. And friends, that motivation is Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 11. What is that motivation? We need to build our lives on the solid foundation of God's mercy. That's the motivation. If you want to live a holy life, you need to remind yourself, what is God's mercy all about? You see, the problem that I've got is, before I joined Everglen, we were part of a holiness movement. And in that holiness movement, they would teach you that Christianity is all about what you do for the Lord. No, my friends, that's wrong. First and foremost, Christianity is about what God has done for you because He loves you by the wonderful, perfect, substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. Mercy will motivate you towards holiness. Nothing else. Nothing else. Right. So, what I want to say is the following. The basis for godly living must always be sound doctrine. Can I repeat this? This is really important. The basis for godly living must always be sound doctrine, or else we'll get trouble going forward. So, friends, what is the point of laying a solid foundation? Why do I say that the greatest motivation for a holy life is the mercy of God? Why do we need a solid foundation in terms of sound doctrine? Why do we need a solid foundation in terms of God's mercy? Why? Because then we can build an attractive house. And that's you. Then we can build an attractive house. You see, friends, the reason why we as Christians are many a time skew and unattractive, I'm including myself now, speaking to myself, is because we forget that if you don't have a solid foundation, God's mercy in Christ Jesus, you will never be able to build an attractive building, a house. So, I want to start. My sermon this morning is only one verse. One verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You can go. And we will stay with Romans chapter 12, verse 1, but I'm going to read a bit in Romans also. Let's just read again. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, listen to these words of Paul. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. How do we live for God? How do we live for God's glory? My sermon outline, 4 points, only 4 points. Number one, a gentle plea, a gentle plea. Number two, merciful motivation. Number three, total surrender. Number four, continual worship. That's my sermon outline. Let's read verse 1. Listen to this gentle plea from Paul. I love this. I call it a gentle plea. A gentle plea. Paul says, therefore I urge you. Therefore I urge you, brethren. You know, Paul uses the word therefore. And he reminds us of the previous verse from the previous chapter. Paul says, therefore, let's just go back one verse. Chapter 11, verse 36. Listen to this. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Friends, if you confess that you've turned from sin to Christ, then you belong to Him. God owns you. And now we see Paul speaking, I urge you, brethren. It's as if Paul is speaking, is pleading with you, pleading with me. It is as if Paul is pleading with a brother in Christ, pleading. And he's saying, let's remember what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It's a gentle plea. You know, Paul, the greatest apostle of all, was not great, was always great in his own eyes when he was called Saul. When Paul was called Saul, he was great in his own eyes. But when Saul had a head-on collision with the glorified King of Kings and Lord of Lords, everything changed. Everything changed. Can you see why Paul has got a gentle plea? Because this is the man, friends, that had a head-on collision with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And a great miracle is taking place. Paul is now a great servant of a great Savior. And friends, you know what? This is what ought to happen in the heart of every Christian. When God mercifully and graciously starts to work in our hearts, revealing His Son in our hearts, it's impossible that you're great in your own eyes. It's impossible. Because if you also have met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then you'll become a great Savior, a great servant of a great Savior. That's my first point, a gentle plea. My second point is a merciful motivation. Also verse 1, Paul is saying, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Friends, you know, our first importance is not what you are doing currently for the Lord. That is not the first importance. Our first importance is not that which you will do for the Lord. But our first importance is, and I'm going to say this again, our first importance is what has God done for us in Christ Jesus. What you do for Christ ought to be the outflow of building your life on a solid foundation of His mercy. I want to repeat this. The greatest motivation for living to the glory of God is gratitude. 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 The greatest motivation for living to the glory of God is gratitude. Gratitude. And again, gratitude. You know, when was the last time that myself and you were heartbroken about sin? I want to ask you, friends, everyone sitting in front of me, when was the last time that you've cried about your sin? Some people are looking funny at me and say, Herman, what's wrong with you? Do you cry? Friends, when was the last time that the Holy Spirit convicted you of your wretchedness, your wickedness, your deceitfulness, and you cried? Because you see, it's all about gratitude, friends, that we are heartbroken. And you know what? When was the last time that we've rejoiced in the fact that there is forgiveness by the blood of Christ? The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this is the reality of the Christian life. The greatest inspiration for holy living is gratitude. The greatest inspiration. Now, what I want to do in this morning is, I want to remind us that we've got a great responsibility to build our lives on this foundation of God's mercy. We need to remind ourselves. So, what I want to do is, friends, just to remember what I said, that if you want to live a life that's to the glory of God, you need to first start with the foundation. And the foundation is that God is merciful in Christ Jesus. So let's go, and I'm going to take us through the book of Romans quickly, so that we can again remind ourselves what is the foundation that we ought to build on. Romans, firstly, Romans chapter 3. You can go with me to Romans chapter 3. We are speaking about a merciful motivation to holiness. Romans chapter 3, number 1. Number 1. God offers us justification and redemption. This is something that we need to build on, dear brothers and sisters. God offers us justification and redemption. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. I'm going to start with from verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Listen to this. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Number 2. The sacrifice of Jesus provides atonement. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. What about this mercy? Our transgressions are forgiven. This is a miracle, friends. It's a miracle. Romans chapter 4. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Our transgressions are forgiven and our sins are covered. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. I'm reading from verse 6. Just as David also spoke of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Another mercy. God makes peace between us and Himself. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, God makes peace between us and Himself. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. What about this mercy? God pours out His love into our hearts and gives us the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Another mercy, part of the foundation. God demonstrates His love for us while we were in open rebellion towards Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Another mercy. God saves us from His wrath. Brothers and sisters, this is a solid foundation. Every man is appointed to die once, and then judgment. This is an enormous reality. It ought to touch our hearts that there is people in this very moment dying and going to a Christless eternity. God saved us from His wrath. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. When a Christian dies, we won't be judged. We've been judged because Christ died in our stead. God reconciles us to Himself. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Friends, God provides an abundant and overflowing provision of grace in your life. Romans chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. I'm just reading verse 17. For if by the transgressions of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. God gives us new life. Romans chapter 6. God gives us new life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Brothers and sisters, there ought to be a big difference between an unbeliever and a Christian, because I'm telling you now, there's a great difference between death and life. A great difference. God frees us from condemnation. We've got an enemy. His name is called Lucifer. His name is called Satan. And he loves to condemn. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. What a wonderful verse. Only possible when you build your life on this firm foundation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God makes us His children. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. God works good for His children. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God conforms us to His likeness. What a wonderful encouragement. Brothers and sisters, God is at work in your heart and in my heart to conform us to the image of His own Son. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. God provides love that we can never be separated from. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. God provides His love, and we can never be separated from His love. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another part of this foundation. God saves all who calls upon Him. Wonderful. God saves all who call upon Him. Chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And one more. God allows those who do not seek Him to find Him. I love this part of the firm foundation, because that's me. That's me. God allows those who do not seek Him to find Him. That's me. God saved me when I wasn't looking for Him. I was looking for my sin. And that's in Romans chapter 10, verse 20. Romans chapter 10, verse 20. I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. Brothers and sisters, the greatest motivator for a godly life is to build your life on the foundation of God's mercy. I want to go to point number three. Point number three. The first one is a gentle plea. The second one is merciful motivation. Point number three, complete surrender. Let's read Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. To present your bodies. What it means is, when Paul says to present your bodies, Paul is saying the following: have you surrendered your life completely to Christ? Have you surrendered your life completely to Christ? Friends, the greatest obedience is the key to blessing. Your life is in your hands. And the greatest result or obedience is that key that will lead to blessing. So, what are we doing with our lives? Remember what we said. If you confess that you're a Christian, your life is not your own. We belong to God. I would like to say this. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet, you belong to God if you confess that you're a Christian. So how do we present our bodies? Where do we start? Where do we start? We start with our minds. Our minds. What do we think about? What about our secret private thoughts? What about our ambitions? What about our dreams? Dear friend, have you presented your mind to God totally? Secondly, what about our eyes? Give Him your eyes. What do we look upon? Many times I speak to my children because we've got Wi-Fi. What do you look upon on your cell phone? What do you look upon on social media? What do you look upon on YouTube? What do you look upon on the internet? Does my eyes and your eyes belong to Christ? Did you present it to Him? Did we present our ears to Him? What do we listen to? What do we hear throughout the day? Did we present our mouth to Him? What do we speak? How do we communicate? What do we speak about, or what do we discuss when those people that we speak about is not with us? You follow what I'm saying? Have you presented your mouth to God? Have you presented your hands to God? What do we do with our hands? What do we lay hold of? Have you given your feet to God? Where do you go? What do you pursue in life? What is your direction in life? Friends, this is God's design. It says, present your body. Present your body means that we should continually and always come before God and present all that I am and all that I have to Him. That is to present your body. To come to God and to continually and always present all that I am and all that I have to Him. And then it goes on, it says, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is, we should live for God, not for ourselves. Because God has made us alive for Him. God has made you alive for Him, for His glory, for His people, and for a world that's lost outside, that needs the gospel of Christ urgently. God has made us alive. I just want to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God has made us alive. God has made us that we would live for Him. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is such an encouraging verse. God has got good works for you and for me. And that good works was prepared beforehand by God. So what are we doing with our lives? Because God has a purpose and a plan for your life and for my life. And it's not about being self-centered. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's all about the glory of this great Savior that died for us, that gave His blood for us. And you know what? He surrendered all for my sin and for your sin. That's a living sacrifice. But we also need to present ourselves as a holy sacrifice. A holy sacrifice. We ought to be set apart from sin. We ought to be totally given to God. Why should we give God a defiled sacrifice? Will that be acceptable to God? How can I give a defiled sacrifice to God? So, if there's sin in my life, what should I do? I should deal with it. I should go to Jesus for cleansing. I should again consecrate my life. When you go to the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, we see the priests, Malachi chapter 1, I'm not going there, but you will see the priest bringing sacrifices. But this priest were bringing second-hand sacrifices. They brought defective animals, blind animals, lame animals. They brought leftovers. But you know what? For themselves, those priests in Malachi, for themselves, they kept the best and the healthy. Why? They had a plan to sell them afterwards for a profit. God despised that. Because God wanted the best sacrifices from those priests. Brothers and sisters, let's be honest. What about us? What kind of sacrifice are we giving to God? Are we giving Him the leftovers, perhaps? Second hand? Or are we giving Him the best? The best. Because the verse says, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice that is acceptable to God. You know what? Only the best is acceptable to God that I can offer. The best of my life. The best of my time. The best of my talents. I want to encourage everybody and myself. Give God the best of yourself. Give God the best of your marriage. Give God the best of your children so that God can bless us, so that God can work amongst us, so that God can renew us and change us. I want to end with continual worship. I want to end. Give God your entire life. The verse says to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. When we speak about spiritual service of worship, we could also use the words your reasonable service or your logical service or your rational service. We need to remind ourselves that the only reasonable service to God is to give ourselves completely to Him. That is the normal Christian life. That is not a supernatural life, dear brothers and sisters. The reasonable thing to do in light of God's mercy revealed in Christ Jesus is to give ourselves completely to Him. And you know what? When we speak about spiritual or continual worship, worship is, and Pastor Tiny have said this many a times, worship includes all of life. At our home, we've got a calendar. My wife is very organized. I'm not so much organized, but she's organized. In our kitchen, we've got a plan in terms of cleaning the kitchen. Unfortunately, my name is also on that list. Maybe it will change. I don't think so. Anyways, but can you clean the kitchen and glorify God? That's worship. Cleaning the kitchen. Taking your child out for ice cream to Bloberg Strand is worship. I've got lots of romantic evenings with my wife. Having a romantic evening with your wife is all about worship. All of life is about worship, friends. So, may God help us that we may worship Him and that we may glorify God in all aspects of our lives. How will we do it? I'm ending. Number one, by pleading and preaching to yourself. That sounds funny, but it's true. We need to plea and preach to ourselves and to the people around us, reminding ourselves that we ought to build our lives on a solid foundation of God's mercy, continually presenting ourselves to God. And lastly, remembering that all of life is about God's glory. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, what a wonderful privilege to name the name of Christ. Lord, and when we name the name of Christ, we should always be mindful to depart from iniquity. But also, Lord, when we name the name of Christ, we are overwhelmed because You have graciously enabled us to repent, to believe, to trust in Christ alone, to turn from sin to Christ. So, Lord, my earnest plea in this morning for myself and for every brother and sister in Christ in this congregation is that we would build our lives on the solid foundation of Your mercy. But not only that we would consecrate our lives and live to Your glory so that the whole world may know that Jesus Christ is alive. He has risen and He is a life changer. So Lord, bless us and help us to love You even more. In Your name, amen.